John 5:22 through 23, talking about this thing of judgment and judging. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. It just gives this authority. God is saying basically the Son is same as the Father. The Son is God. The Son is God. Paul goes on to give some commands, but he actually qualifies these commands at the end of verse 2, so we're going to put that at the beginning of verse 2. He actually qualifies what he's saying here, and he says, as he gets ready to give these commands, do them with great patience and instruction. Now, that Greek word for patience there is two words put together, makros, meaning long, and thymos, meaning anger. So in other words, someone who can go a long time without getting angry. I think the King James says long-suffering. It has that idea of being patient, being long-tempered. And to also do it with instruction. Do it with instruction. And the word there that's used for instruction or teaching is related to the word that they use for doctrine. Didache. So doctrine, which is a set of beliefs and principles that are held and taught. So teaching proper doctrine with patience. And then he gets into the specific commands and he says, preach or proclaim. For those of you that don't like that term preach, it just means proclaiming. And what we're to proclaim is God's word, which is the truth. God's word is the truth. And we're to do it with readiness. This idea here with readiness means to stand over or to guard. So it has the idea of somebody who is diligently being vigilant. Wow, that's or yeah, you can make it vigilant. Yeah, kind of like that, diligently being vigilant. And they're always looking out for opportunity and to be protective. The next one is reprove. And we've seen a couple of these before, just in the last week or two. To reprove or to convince or persuade of wrongdoing. In other words, taking the wrong thinking or the sin and correcting it. You see how the patience and the instruction fall in line with all these. The next one is rebuke. And rebuke, the Greek word has the idea of to tax. And with that comes this thinking of with the wrongdoing comes consequences. So that's where they use that word tax. You're being taxed for something. You're being taxed for the wrongdoing, the consequences that come with that. Reproof brings about conviction, and rebuke brings humility, or at least it should. And then the final one here in his list is exhort or encourage, which balances out the reproof and the rebuke and the correction and those things that seem more difficult. The exhortation comes in to balance it out along with patience and instruction. That's how you balance out the reproof and the rebuke and the correction. That term that they use for exhort here is related to the same word for Holy Spirit, paraclete. So it has that same idea of coming alongside, encouraging, guiding, helping, exhorting. Paul then talks about some predictions that will come. He's reminding Timothy. And remember that as we've gone through 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul has many times reminded Timothy about the false teachers, about the false prophets, those who are going to come in and try to change the gospel. They're going to try to add to it or take away from it. And so he's telling him again, here's some things that are going to be coming. Don't be unaware. And he's telling us the same thing. Don't be unaware of certain people that are going to be coming. He says, they won't endure sound doctrine. They won't endure sound doctrine. And we saw earlier that doctrine is a set of beliefs and principles that are held and taught. So it'd be the Christian doctrine, the doctrine that God has set forth in His Word. They won't endure it. That word endure means to bear with suffering. So in other words, they see within this Christian doctrine that things may not go so easily. And so they don't want to do it. They're trying to find the easy way out. And isn't really that what man tries to do all the time? Well, isn't there an easier way? Isn't there a different way to do this? I don't like that way. I want to do it different. There is only one way to have a relationship with God, and that's through Jesus Christ, His Son. It is the only way. That's what God's Word says. They don't want to endure the consequences that might come with believing God's truth. They want their ears tickled. They want their ears tickled. They want people to tell them what they want to hear. They don't really want to hear the truth. They're going to turn away from the truth. And then they're going to turn to falsehood, which are the myths. And they look to those to justify their lifestyle and their sin and their desires. You know, what can I find out there that will justify my lifestyle? Don't we as human beings do that? Well, I want to live this way, so I'm going to go out and find something that will justify that. It's out there. You can find just about anything to justify your lifestyle. Earlier in Timothy, Paul talked about these people who would come along, these false prophets that would be telling them what they wanted to hear, tickling their ears. And the next one there, they not only do they go after these false teachers, they accumulate them. They accumulate the false teachers, the ear ticklers. You know, they add, oh man, working, you know, fine, I'm really going to justify, so I'm going to get, you know, several sources that all agree. Remember, we talked about Bible study last week and how when you're studying, you need to look at multiple sources to see if they agree or not. And if you run into one that doesn't agree with others, then you need to dig deeper and find out, okay, so which one of these are right? But you need to do that study first on your own to kind of come to your own conclusion of, I think this is what God's saying. They're justifying and rationalizing their sin. Then he gives some reminders. And he starts out with, you! Very emphatic. And he's used this before. 2 Timothy 3:14, he did the same thing. You, Timothy, you all, remember this. And the first one he starts out with is, be sober. Be sober. Now there's a literal and a figurative. Of course, the literal is literally, be sober. Don't be drunk. But the figurative has more to do with having a clear mind. Being unimpaired, having clear thinking. You know, there's a lot of things out there that cloud our thinking, other than drugs and alcohol and that kind of a thing. I mean, there's lots of stuff that we can put in our minds that really cloud the truth and cloud what we need to be thinking. You know, it doesn't really take much to get us off track. Sometimes just one little thing we can kind of be off, you know, kind of in la-la land and not prepared, not ready when the time comes for someone to say, well, I understand you're a Christian. Can you tell me about that? And you need to have that clarity of thinking at that moment that you can then hear what the Holy Spirit has to say and you can respond. You can proclaim the truth. The next one is endure. And Paul has been telling Timothy this over and over and over because of how hard it was in Ephesus with all the false religions and the false prophets and the Jews that were against them. Endure hardship. Endure hardship. And Paul would give examples of hardship. And he would say, look at my life. And Timothy was very much aware of what Paul's life was like. And Paul would say, look at the stuff I went through. And I went through it because God's word is true, because of what Jesus Christ, who he is, and I absolutely believe it, I'm willing to endure the hardship. And so Paul is saying, you know, I'm not speaking to you out of not knowing this stuff. You know, Paul is saying, you know my life and the stuff that I've gone through. Hardship should lead us to prayer, not despair. Hardship should drive us to our knees to pray, to not be despairing. He goes on to say, he says, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. That term fulfill has the idea of bringing to completeness. Bringing to completeness. And ministry, the term they use here, diaconia, it's the same place we get the word deacon. It's serving, service. In 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul talks about his service that he's given. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has put you into service. Remember we looked at that? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. We're supposed to be doing good works. We're supposed to be serving as an example to other people, as an example to unbelievers. The other thing I want us to look at here, excuse me, when he's talking about the ministry is looking at the whole context of what Paul's talking about. So in this passage, there's a certain context. He's talking about the false prophets and the ear ticklers, and here's what I want you to do. Timothy, this is the things I want you to do. But if you look at the whole context of his letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, you get a broader context of, Timothy, here's what I want you to do. And then if you look at all Scripture, you get an even broader context of, Timothy, here's what I want you to do. But you know what? It's not just Timothy. It's you all. It's us all. He's speaking to all of us. So in applying this to our own lives, let's start off by looking at Ephesians 4. Excuse me. Ephesians 4, looking at 15 through 16. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible this passage.
Shame on you.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you veer away from the authorized NASB, so. It says, but speaking the truth in love, in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing His truth, let us grow up in all things into Him, following His example, who is the head, Christ. From Him the whole body, the church and all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up unselfishly, or in unselfish love, excuse me. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So what are we to do as part of the body of Christ? It says there that each joint, each part is to work together to build up the body, to make the church what it is. We all have our piece to play. The one of the things that we need to do is proclaim the word. Proclaim the word. If you believe it, say it. If you truly believe God's word, then share it. We're to reprove and correct. And I truly believe that one of the biggest reasons that we're to do that is to protect the church. Because if you allow sin to go on in the church, it'll destroy it. It'll destroy it. You think back to when they came out of Egypt, and there was the sin that was in the camp. And God was ready to just take them out. And they went through the camp and they found out who did the sin. And they were dealt with. Because God knows it, that sin, it's that picture of leaven, that little bit of sin and how it just starts to grow. And if we don't deal with it, the church will be in trouble. It'll be a poor witness for Christ. We're to proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. Mark 3:10 says, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. We're to go out and tell people about Jesus. And we're to serve. We're to serve. Jesus Himself left us this great example. Excuse me. In John 13, it says, Jesus got up from supper. He laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. And then on to verse 12. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord, the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. So Jesus, leaving the example of service, caring so much for people that you're willing to serve them, even to get down on your hands and knees and wash their dirty, stinky feet. This was God who did this, and He left this example for them. I just think, even in my own life, you know, it's like, okay, there's things that I need to do, and it's just too hard, it's too difficult. And I need to bring myself back to what Jesus did. I'm sure glad that He didn't say, man, Father, that's too hard. I can't bear that. And He didn't. He said, your will be done. If this is the only way to bring about salvation for these people that I love, I'm willing to do it. And I think there's times when we need to look at our own lives and think, this one little thing, maybe it's this one little thing that you're asking me to do to serve that will bring someone else to Christ, that will somehow ignite something in them that they're going, okay, this is different. Why is that person doing that? And that it will drive them to ask the question, how can you do this difficult stuff? How can you go out and do that? You know, this last week I've thought of Kathy, who shared with us about her ministry in Thailand and just how overwhelming that has to be, to feel like you're one person among millions. And it's not only, you know, these girls you're trying to work with to show them that there's hope, that they don't have to stay in this sexual bondage, but it's the government, it's the other authorities, it's the people that are, that, you know, this is what really kind of just blows my mind, sexual tourism. You know, they're coming to the country specifically to have sex with these girls. And you look out there and go, where in the world do you start? Well, I think y'all know where to start. With one person. With one of those girls. And you just start telling them about Christ and you start showing them how much you love them. And they see you and go, why do you love me like this? You can say, well, because God loved me so much, I can love you like this. So we need to have that servant's heart. We need to be willing to go and proclaim God's word, be willing to confront sin, to proclaim the gospel, because you know what? The gospel isn't just good news. It's the best news. It really is. So go out there and tell people about what Jesus has done in your life. And that's really all he asks us to do, is to be a witness for him. Here's what Jesus has done in my life. I'm not going to tell you about what Jesus did in somebody else's life, but I can tell you about what he's done in my life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you did send your son. And Jesus, thank you that you were willing, that you were a willing sacrifice, that you were willing to go through that ordeal. I mean, literally, even the ordeal of being a human being on this earth for 30 years and just living a human existence. Thank you that you showed us that example of how to be a servant, how to love people without any strings attached. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, help us to fulfill our ministry, to serve where you've called us to serve, to be the little finger or the big toe or the mouth, whatever it is in the body of Christ, to help build up the church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to bring your attention to a few announcements this morning. So there's a sign-up sheet back in the hospitality area. People that might want to be involved in the community meal that we're looking at possibly putting together, but that will depend on how many people participate. So there's that back there. You can talk to Doug Stewart if you need more information on that. Also bring your attention to the Christmas week schedule, which is a little bit different than the norm. And I just want you to be aware that our building project is continuing to move ahead. It's a little bit slow. We've been waiting on bids to come in, but we've gotten some more bids in, and so hopefully here soon we'll be making a decision on the contractor for that. And again, please help in our children's ministry. We've got a big change coming. Lorna is going to be leaving the ministry. She's getting married. And she's going to be then traveling. It's a family that does music ministry, so a lot more load put on Kathy, especially right initially. So we could really use your help in children's ministry, in just being a helper, being a body that's there to help out someone else that's teaching even. And then the last thing is, we talked about this a little bit last week, the possibility of having a short-term mission trip to Africa. And so I just want to remind you of that. There are, these are back in the hospitality area. They have information that you can fill out. And if, and there's some information on there about kind of what's happening, but you can also talk to Carrie Jones if you need more information on that. And just, it's going to be, it's a great opportunity. If you've ever thought in your wildest dreams that possibly that might be something that you, that God might have you do, go for it. It would be a great, great experience. Not only would you be helping the ministry there, but God will do some pretty amazing things in your life too. So, all right. God bless you all. Have a great week.